I'd like to thank our sponsor, Brandon Moyer of Made to Be Clean Cleaning Services. They use low toxic cleaning solutions to make your home or office clean and healthy. Made to Be Clean, your hive, our purpose. 484-509-7197. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. We're back in the studio again, and we have a guest from New Jersey. That's right, I said it, New Jersey. They are our neighbors, and I'm excited to find out what's going on in their neck of the woods. And we're going to start talking to a guy here. His name is John Scipione. He has his own team, everything. I mean, John, you're doing everything yourself. I mean, you have your own company, right?
It's our own company.
Yeah. And it's a team.
And we run a team. So everybody that's at the company is on the team. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. You caught my eye because you have a really good podcast called Light It Up. I found you from Instagram. I found you on YouTube. I think you're on YouTube also. And I was really intrigued because you have a really nice podcast. You really do. It looks good. It sounds good. You guys seem to know what you're talking about, which is great too. But I wanted to get in touch with you and you can talk a little bit about, you know, your past and what you're doing. Cause you're doing some serious numbers, man. I looked up your stats and you know, you're no joke. You've been doing this for 15 years and you're lighting it up. And is that why it's called Light It Up? I mean, I just thought of that right now. Is that why it's called Light It Up?
Well, our company is Lighthouse Residential. So we try to do a little bit of a play on words there.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I like the Light It Up thing. That definitely works. I mean, that's definitely a good name. So tell me, you know, were you always in real estate? Is that where you started? And how did you get into this? And, you know, where are you at with production stuff? I know you're lighting it up, like we said.
Funny story about Light It Up. We actually named it Light It Up. We were about five episodes into our podcast. And then we realized there's these two like Rastafarian guys have a podcast called Light It Up.
Are you serious?
They literally light it up.
No.
So you go on to YouTube and you search Light It Up. Now I think our SEO comes a little bit higher than theirs.
Right. That is hilarious. So there's actually two dudes sitting in there smoking a joint. Oh, yeah.
They're lighting it up. So ours is a little bit different.
A little different light up. Yep.
Yeah, a little bit different. But to answer your question, yeah, I've been in real estate licensed residential side for, I don't know, 16 years now. So really right out of college. I mean, I worked in finance for a little bit, but it was always real estate related.
Right.
Got my master's from NYU in real estate. My original stint was sort of raising money for developers and builders and private equity. And all that was fun, but I always had my license on the side. And I jokingly say that, you know, I had two screens in my office and one was for what I was supposed to be doing in finance. And the other one was, you know, putting together deals on the residential side.
Right.
When you can't sneak out of the office for yet another doctor's appointment for the second time this week because you have that $2 million buyer, you finally rip the Band-Aid off and go into the residential side full time. So that's what I did about 15, 16 years ago and never looked back.
You shouldn't be looking back because I looked at your numbers and you did, I think you said $380 million in business over the past 15 years, which is, those are some serious numbers, man. So you obviously know what you're doing.
Yeah, we like to think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say the biggest thing that we're trying to do is just, it's not a difficult business. It's simple. It's just not easy.
Yeah.
And finding the things that we are good at and just replicating it and just bringing on good people.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I brought you on here because you guys you're our neighbor. New Jersey's a neighbor of Pennsylvania, obviously. I know that much out of geography. But yeah, and then the things I wanted to talk to you about are like, you know, what do you see going on in New Jersey? I mean, are you seeing this little bit of a shift or change in the market? Not a bad thing, just it's changing. Are you seeing the same things we're seeing in Pennsylvania?
Totally. 100%. Yeah. And I tell people, ironically, this is coming at the same time as the holidays, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we've been seeing the shift for the last couple of months, but I keep reminding people, and maybe it's the agents on our team, and maybe it's the buyers and sellers we're working with. This slowdown that we're experiencing right now is not due, at least where we are, to the holiday. Yeah, we're very much like our real estate market where we are in New Jersey. And I should start by telling you, we're in like the Hoboken, northern New Jersey, like. See MetLife outside MetLife Stadium where the Giants play from.
Oh, that's right cool. Here. That's very cool.
Yeah. We're tied to like, we get the overflow from Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Right,
so
right.
Generally, our young professional buyer doesn't care if it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. So what I remind people, again, is right now, this slowdown is not due to the holidays. at least in my experience, last 5-10 years, it doesn't slow down in November, December, maybe a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now is definitely due to interest rates.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like a little perfect storm right now with the interest rates. And sometimes some seasonal will stop some people. Listings more so than buyers. I think buyers will buy whenever the house is there, period. Listings, sometimes people won't list their house when they know they're going to be going crazy during the holidays. But yeah, you're right. The interest rates is definitely, it was almost like a button when that happened. And I think what people need to realize though is that, you know, I don't think the 3% and the 4% is coming back anytime soon. So people have to get into this new normal and realize, okay, I want to find a house regardless of the interest rate. You don't buy the rate, you buy the house, you know, and later on, if you need to change that rate, you can change the rate. You know, if the rates go down, you refinance. And if they don't, at least you're living in the house that you love. You know what I mean? Yeah. Either way, it's your personal residency. So you got to find a house. If you want to find a house, you're going to have to just go buy it, whether the rates are 7% or 3%. I mean, my parents always tell me about the whole 17% time in the 70s. You know, thank God I wasn't around for that.
I know. I was having a conversation with somebody else in the industry yesterday. He's more in the appraisal side. But what we were talking about was, you know, a lot of sellers in our market are spoiled because we're so close to Manhattan. Sometimes they'll buy it. It's very common for someone to buy a unit, a condo for $400,000, and 4 years later, they sell it for $600,000.
Wow.
So people in our market make money hand over fist because it's young professionals.
Yep.
The area keeps changing. It's not like some of these sleepy residential towns that we work in sometimes where you buy the house for $500,000 and you sell it for $525,000. So where I'm going with that though is sometimes people get upset when they only are making $100,000.
Oh my gosh.
Their condo in Hoboken. And I say, listen, at the end of the day, you're buying this residence for your own primary use, right?
Of course.
It's for your family to sleep at night. It's for you to raise your children, for you to do all that good stuff.
Yep.
You want to really try to make money in real estate. You should be buying the cash flowing properties or buying for appreciation. So just to tie that back to what you were saying is you're buying this. And of course, most people are borrowing the money, 70%, 80%, whatever they're borrowing. You know, you're doing it for your family. You're not necessarily doing it for cash flow purposes.
Right. No, it is funny. And that's why you have to separate the two. You have to separate, you know, investment over personal residency because it's two different things, you know. And I think obviously the bonus when you go to sell your personal residency, if you make $100,000 or $200,000, you know, that's great, you know, but that's not typically the purpose that you buy your personal residency. You buy it because of the schools, the location, the, you know, where it is with your work and things like that. So you guys are seeing it. And you know, Keller Williams, you know, I'm a Keller Williams agent and we call it a shift and you know, it doesn't matter what you call it. But I also say I think we're going to head more to a balanced market over the next, probably over the next 6 months to a year. And I'm sure you hear this too. We're always debunking it's another housing bubble. It's another housing bubble. I mean, I in my opinion, that's not where we're headed. I mean, I've lived through that time period and this is nothing like it. I don't see any signs like it at all. And the biggest reason being is, I don't know about you guys, how's your inventory? Our inventory is terrible. I mean, if we have like none.
Yeah, there's really not. I mean, little pockets here and there, but there's really not a lot of inventory.
Yeah.
That's why I tell my team still focus on those listings, because if the buyers have dried up and the buyers are saying, you know, if some of them are taking a back seat, then you know, this is the time from a realtor's perspective to really sharpen your skills, you know, start getting a little bit more interested on, you know, getting a little bit more experienced on the listing side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Inventory's low.
It's very low. Now, have you seen prices because of the rates going, have you seen the prices moderate a little bit less? Not to say that your prices are going down, but they're not going up as fast or they're starting to plateau a little bit.
No, I've seen them come down.
You've seen them come down. You really have.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not like substantially.
Yeah.
But if I'm just looking from like a macro perspective, because we tend to deal with a lot of condos.
Yeah.
And some of these tighter areas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're one seller in a condo building and there's 5 units in your building for sale, all it takes is for one guy to cut his price $25,000.
Then that's it.
Everybody else.
Yeah. You got to follow along or you're not going to make it. Yeah. I gotcha.
And again, that's like what a lot of our business is. So maybe it's just a different perspective. But I think sometimes, because we do sell a lot of homes in the suburbs as well, it's not maybe as obvious.
Yeah, it's so true.
That your competition is dropping their price than as in a condo building.
John, never thought of that before. That is so interesting. You're right. If you have three or four in the same building in a beautiful condominium building, it's very, very evident when somebody lowers their price in your building, you're going to have to, because there's no way you can say, oh, well, their location's not as good. Well, you're pretty much in the same building.
Fires all over the lobby. Yeah. And everybody's, you know, people are you know, giving each other pretty looks in the elevator. And
oh, man, that's a different market. I never even thought of that. That's funny. Yeah. See, we hardly have any condos here. We hardly have any. We're mostly, you know, for us, we're mostly rural, if you want to call it that, you know, but we have we're in the suburbs of the city of Reading. And it's just funny to hear that the condo situation is really different. So you are seeing prices moderate a little bit or seeing them change a little bit. Are you seeing anybody or any of your lenders getting creative with financing, like any buy downs, any adjustable rate mortgages? You know, any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we tend to work with New Jersey lenders. We've been working with a gentleman, Chris Gow, over there for 15, 16 years. What he's been telling us is that, you know, the ARM, especially, again, I hate to keep harping on these condos and young professionals, but being outside of Manhattan, our typical buyer or client usually holds that condo 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
So that they're a perfect example of somebody who may want to consider getting an ARM because that's not their forever home.
Got it. Right? Yep.
I can't tell you how many people have sold a single guy, a one bedroom. And then 2 years later, he calls me and says, oh, I got engaged. And now, you know, we're going to go to the burbs and, you know, we got a kid on the way or whatever.
So common. So common.
A lot of times our lenders are pushing towards the ARM. I think at least I hope I'm giving you some good numbers here. I think it's about 1 point less.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
If the 30-year fix is like 6.3, then maybe the ARM's around 5.3 or so.
Yep.
We've been creative using that. Haven't done a whole lot of buy downs. I did get an offer the other day where the seller, the buyer was off asking for like a $30,000 seller's concession.
Oh my gosh.
Off the bat. And they said, listen, we're going to use that to buy down our rate at closing. Which I appreciated the creativity. So the buyer said, hey, I'll pay you your full price plus 25 grand, but I want that as a concession at the closing and I want to sell. I'm going to use it towards buying down my rate.
Yeah.
And I don't
but
know.
But the only thing is, what did that do for the appraisal then? That's where you have to get worried about that, right?
It could screw up the appraisal.
Yeah.
And my lender's like, but does that buyer understand that he's borrowing that 25 grand at a rate that he agrees is higher?
Yeah. So does that really save him anything? Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Do a side-by-side comparison. I appreciate the creativity.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, in these kind of markets, that's what happens. People do have to be creative. They have to you know, think about how they're going to get the house that they want. You know, that's really what it's about. So what do you see coming up in your market in 2023? Like what do you think is going to happen? Like, are you going to have a kick-ass spring market? Are you going to, do you think it's going to be flat? Like what are you guys seeing as a team? Like when you guys meet, what do you think you're going to see this year?
You know, it's interesting to see what happens because generally, like most markets, we have a lot more homes come on the market early January.
Yeah.
A lot of those people, like you were saying before, those sellers don't want all those people, you know, going through their home during Christmas and the holidays. So a lot of those people are going to wait until January. I would bet that we're going to see a lot more homes come on the market in January. And then of course have it pick up a little bit more in the springtime.
Yeah.
What's going to be interesting though, is to see if you see a lot more buyers out there.
Right.
What we always talk about in our office is, you know, the people who need to purchase, mm-hmm. right? We always try to determine when we're looking at clients, are they trying to do something based on need or greed?
Oh, right? Interesting. Right. Yeah. Right.
It's just like a little analogy. Need is like, hey, we just got married and we live in a studio.
Yep.
Or, hey, we got two kids. One of the guys in our office just had twins.
Oh, geez. God bless him.
Yeah. They were in one bedroom with a dog. So they needed to move to a single family home.
Absolutely.
So marriage, divorce, new job, lost the job, financial reasons, retirement, whatever it is. So when you're speaking with your clients, try to figure out the true motivation. And I think, you know, from a consumer's perspective, if they really need to do something, like you said, the rate doesn't matter if it's 4% or 6%, they're going to They might have to bite their tongue a little bit, but they're gonna do it if they need to.
Well, that's why I always tell my clients and also my sellers is that the rate does not define whether you can buy or not. It defines what you can buy because of your qualifications. You know, it doesn't define that you can buy or you can't buy. You can still buy. When the rate goes up 1%, you can still buy. You already know you can buy. Yeah. It's just gonna change your number a little bit, you know? Yeah. And the only issue that we're seeing now is that in the past, when that happened, typically the listings would start coming in lower and lower. But because we have such an inventory problem or an inventory challenge, I should say, that's what makes it that the prices are coming down a little bit or they've leveled off a little bit, depending on like certain pockets, like you said. But we're not seeing a huge depreciation here at all. I mean, if we maybe in some of our areas here lost 3% on some of the prices, that would be about it. So it's just interesting. So you're saying in 23, you think good spring market, you think throughout the year, it's going to be pretty half decent though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll still see a strong market. One way that we've been summing it up in our office, at least, is just the buyers are still out there. Mm-hmm. There's just less of them. You know, if we put something new on the market on a Friday, we might have 6 months ago, we might have 30 showings that weekend.
Yeah.
Now, and what we've been saying is for every 10 showings we get, we generally get one offer.
Yeah.
So if I listed your home 6 months ago, I get 30 showings, I get three offers.
Yeah.
We do a highest and best, price gets bid up. Now, I would say if we put your home out on the market, we'd probably put it at a similar price than we were going to do before, maybe slightly less depending on which specific neighborhood you're at. And I think we might just see 10 showings instead of 30.
Yeah.
Which would still get you that one offer.
Yeah.
So
it's just funny how it's changing.
You may not see that uptick in a sale price because of the bidding war, but you're still probably going to get your fair market value anyway.
Yeah. You still didn't lose a ton of money. You still made your money. I mean, any seller right now that's on the market made their money over the past 2 years. And if they lose, 2% or 3% or even 5% because of just not as much competition or whatever, that to me, they're still kicking butt on that. So what about inspections and stuff like that? Did you guys see those disappear or kind of go away for a little bit or no?
Oh yeah, they went away for a while.
I mean, yeah, same here.
Away for children and
are they coming back?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I would say, and people are getting a little bit carried away over here too, like looking for blood.
So they came back with a vengeance. The inspections.
Yes.
They came back with an attitude.
And it. I could go into theory about this all day long, but I think sometimes what happens is a buyer puts a home under contract, mm-hmm. and 6-9 months ago, they'd be so excited, they'd go back and they tell all their coworkers and their friends and family, mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it under contract. I only had to pay $50,000 over asking price. Now what I think is happening is they're going back and telling their friends and family, and some of their friends are probably spooking them a little bit.
Right.
Oh my God, buying in this market? What interest rate did you get? And then what happens is they might emotionally be like a little bit concerned. So I think what happens is when they get to the inspection, it's sort of sound like sometimes they're pounding the table.
Yeah.
Saying, if I'm going to do this thing,
yep.
Purchase the home, because everybody's sort of telling me not to right
yep.
now.
Yep.
I'm going to have it my way or the highway. And sometimes
sounds so true.
Instead of saying, hey, can you repair those 5 windows? It's like, I want all brand new windows and I want Pella and I want them done before the closing.
That's what I'm saying. It came back with a vengeance, right? Like the inspections came back and like just came back with an attitude. I mean, you before it was just so different. And now all of a sudden they came back. And I keep telling, we do a lot of training here for our agents and just like as you do for your team. And it's like, we say, look, man, you have to be ready for this. Things are changing. It's not like it was before when there was no inspections. So it's just different. But it sounds like you guys are going through a lot of the same stuff that we're going through. Now, I want to thank you for spending time here on the show and getting us up to date on what's going on with our neighbors there in New Jersey. I wish you the best. And go ahead and tell me, if you're in New Jersey, how do they get a hold of you to buy some real estate or sell real estate? And also give me the information on how to get to your podcast.
Sure. So best way to reach me, I guess, is cell phone 201-841-8935 is my direct cell phone. You can just look us up. My email is john@lighthouseresidential. It's a long one. Spelled out, LIGHT, houseresidential.com. And then, probably the best way to find us is to look at our Instagram page.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because you can get to the podcast from there too, right? Right. Is there information on the podcast there?
Yeah. If you follow me on Instagram, it's john.a. @scipione, S-C-I-P-I-O-N-E is my handle on Instagram. You can't miss the podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a good podcast. I would suggest people to look for it in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, wherever you're at, because it's a good podcast. It's done very well, very professional. I want to say thanks again, John, for coming on here. I really appreciate it. I wish you the very best in 2023 or this year coming up here. And I hope you kick butt, and we'll be talking to you again maybe in 2023, hopefully.
Would love to do it, man. We're always happy to partake and collaborate.
All right. Sounds good, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. John Scipione. I said it right 2 times, I believe, which is good. What a great show. That just shows you what's going on in New Jersey. I just like to get the word out about different areas around here, just so you can see what the markets are like and how they're similar, how they're different. And actually, what I'm seeing is New Jersey's doing pretty much the same thing we're doing. And that's very cool. So that's about it. We will see you next Thursday at 1 o'clock. See you later. Are your kitchen and bathroom way overdue for a remodel? Well, I got the guy for you. Call John Sellers at First Response Contracting, 484-256-7136. Both residential and commercial services, and he's licensed and insured. Call him at 484-256-7136, First Response Contracting.